Learned Christ, preached May 1998, White River Full Gospel Church.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. They taught me that in Sunday school, Sister Sherilee, in Kansas City. The women had sewing circle, the kids had a rowdy field day. But the teacher ganged us up together, and she was our wonderful teacher. I know what she looked like. Her name fails me. I don't know what she does. She taught me how to sing Jesus Loves Me. Taught me a lot of stories out of the Bible. Got saved. The devil will tell me, you can't sing one song. I say, yes, I can. I can sing one child song. I can sing one child song. And you know what? I'm just young, you know. But he got me so condemned. I thought, I'll show you. I wandered up on the stage and I sung Jesus Loves Me. This I know. I just put everything I had in it. And I'm telling you, you just give God all you got and what you know, and He'll make the rest of it work. The life which I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We all got a little something out there that we're not perfected in, but God will help us. Amen? Amen. You know, He's got all kinds of little games that He plays with our head. He tries to make us think, well, we can't, we won't, we don't, we're not as good as, you know, we just can't do it as good as somebody else. And He'll condemn us, He'll try to make us downfall, He'll try to make us hold back. But let's just give God all we got. Just give it full force. Amen? Thank God, thank God. You feel like listening to me preach? I got a full of confidence. Hallelujah. I feel something on my heart tonight. Brother Kyle or Brother Lon could have just went right on. That'd been fine. But the whole service has kind of led me this way. I kind of wondered, a message like this, why don't we have some sinners in here? And then I got thinking that I remember several times I needed a good refresher to make me understand that I need to look diligently about the things of God every day. I need to look about them. You know, turn with me if you would. I'll try to read before I get started. Had to help with that. Ephesians chapter 4 first, then we'll go back to John 14th chapter. Read the 20th verse at least down to the 24th verse. Ephesians 4, chapter 20. Very wonderful scripture. That ye have not so learned Christ, if so that that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corruptible according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? It says you have not so learned Christ. We got an understanding, didn't we? All right, John chapter 14. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Father, I worship you and I praise you and I thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, lead us and guide us in that fellowship of the Spirit. Father, I praise you for your good move tonight. Lord God, bring us close to you. Father, we want to see the deep things of God. We want to move into that place, in that reality of Christ. Lord God, not one to be those who have the itching ears or those who are ever learning, but we want to be those who come to the knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' mighty name, I bind the enemy. Father, loose that Holy Ghost to work in our midst greater than ever before. I praise you and I thank you and I worship you for it. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As Brother Lon said earlier, he doesn't just have religion. He met somebody. Amen? We met somebody. This isn't just a head knowledge. Now, when I first got saved, I was toiling with the wonder and the thought of why I met so many churchgoers who still cussed and still done all the things that they'd always done. And I prayed and I cried about that wonder, what's going on? When I got saved, something happened to me. I was changed. There was a reality come into my life, and I was freed instantly. It came. Why? Why was this going on? And God spoke to me in prayer as I'd read, I'd stopped for lunch somewhere, and I read Psalms 59. And in there it said, for the sin of their lips, for their lying and for their cursing and for their swearing. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and I was praying, and He spoke to me, Titus chapter 1, verse 15, verse 16. I read 15, and I thought, oh, how wonderful it is, and how pure those are that truly believe God, because they have been renewed in their mind and in their spirit. They have been changed. But verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. And are abominable and disobedient, reprobate to every good work. They're reprobate to those good works. They don't know Him. Then the assurance came into my mind, Brother Lon. What exactly was wrong with these people? They'd found religion. They'd got into Sunday school somewhere. They'd shook the preacher's hand. Maybe got their name on the roll book. They'd give a little money now and again. Maybe they'd done a few things to make them feel good. They'd read in the Bible where you were supposed to be in church, so they'd go to church. They read in the Bible where you was going to go to hell if you didn't quit sinning. So they've done their best to quit sinning, but the sin kept coming up. But I'm telling you tonight, anybody that's really seen Jesus Christ, they've met a man that can deliver them from sin. They found something that roots inside of their heart that gives them a belief in God where the sin flees out of them. They've met a holy master that brings that sin out. It's not by the works that I've done, but it's by the man that I've met. I've met Christ Jesus that night when I repented for my sins and I found faith at the altar. I didn't see an aberration of a face nor a form, but I met God Almighty and it changed my life. It turned me around. I'm telling you tonight that I could backslide and go back worse in sin than I ever been before. But Maggie, I've tasted the things of God and there'd never be a peace or a happiness for me out there. There's never going to be a consoling place except in the arms of my Lord where that Savior's at, because He's alive and real tonight. We serve a God that's more real than I am. You can see me very clearly, and without a doubt you can hear me, but we serve a God that's more real than I am. In a few years, little buddy, I'm going to die and go on if God don't come. But I'll tell you, Jesus will never die again. He's alive and well. He's powerful. He's alive. The Savior that the blood Brother Lon was singing about a while ago set us free, brothers and sisters. It set us free. We met a man. We didn't meet a calf. We didn't meet a beetle. We didn't meet a mouse or a donkey or whatever the other world worships. We didn't meet a man that died and laid in the grave. But we met a man that come out of the grave, that has freedom from death, that is alive today. I met a man who changed my life. I met a man who healed my body. I met a man who loved me more than I knew what love was. I thought love was lust in my desire. But when I got saved, I found out what love was. And it is constant commitment unto one, regardless of what comes back. That's love. That's love. That's what He gave me when I was lost in sin and undone. He called me. He called to me until the day that He brought me out. I met a Savior that's alive and well, that keeps His hand. tell me. About 3 weeks ago, Thursday morning, I woke up in bed. I didn't turn my alarm clock on. And I looked over there and I thought, what am I doing sleeping so late? And I thought, Jesus, what a Savior He is. Went on with my prayer and my reading. Went on just about the last day of work. And went on through the day of work. Everything went so great. And at the end of the day, I realized I wasn't understanding. Many times I thought He was sitting in the chair next to me. Had such an understanding of being there. But at the end of the day, I had an understanding that the man had got me out of bed, that He walked with me all day. And I didn't even realize He is sitting there. I didn't even realize His presence. But if the reality is there, brothers and sisters, Christ is with us. Christ is with us. No matter what the enemy tries to say, no matter what doubt tries to come up, Christ is with us. He's alive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got a picture where the Savior rode into Jerusalem and they were throwing down palms and the clothes down before Him and singing and dancing around Him. But there was a few of them down on the ground. They had it down on the knees like this and they were pulling their hair out and they were repenting before God. And I'm telling you, those Pharisees were standing on the sideline murmuring back and forth, but they saw a man, Brother Kyle. They saw God at that time. I don't know what I'd do if I'd been at Golgotha unsaved, but I know what had happened today. I'd been down on that ground screaming and crying to the Master. Master, I'm here. Master, I'm here. Master, I'm here. Save me. Deliver me. Bring me to You. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a reality He is. What a reality He is. We see Him, and every attribute of God is wrapped up in Him. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what Paul said. He is that fullness. Everything that we need, we go to Him. He is the access. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It don't matter what the world council of churches wants to do, Brother Kyle. I ain't worshiping in Hinduism. You can't put Muslim with this. Jesus is the only way. If you put a little leaven in this, it's all going to hell. There's no way out. That's hard preaching. That may be what you call hillbilly preaching. But I'm telling you tonight, that's the truth of God. And any time you mingle sin with the gospel, it's lost. All you got is a social club. You've got adultery inside the pews. You've got sin everywhere. And you've got a reprobate mind leading it. I didn't realize I'd get that tough. Thank you, Lord, but it's the truth anyway. Anytime we lose our vision of Christ, there ain't nothing holy in me, Brother Lon. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Ain't nothing holy about me. I'm telling you, if I fail to pray and read my Bible and try to stay in the Spirit of the Lord, I become mean, hard to get along with. But if I'll get down and get myself back where I'm supposed to be, pray back through, fast that flesh out of the spirit, get it back down where it's supposed to be, I can touch God again. Suddenly the presence is alive, just as great as ever before. It's a lying individual that tells you you can't have that new love, that tells you you can't have that first love, because believe me, there's a relationship. God didn't die, we died. All we have to do is let Him arise back up in us and give us life again. We didn't win this life on our own. What makes us think we're going to win it on our own after it's gone? Ain't nothing we can do to cause joy to come. Just a constant reliance on Christ and that He is real. You hang on to that and you know what will happen? You'll be in the praise and in the prayer. God will show you what's wrong. I've done it so many times. You know how men are. There's a couple women. Make sure I got a majority. You know how men are. If they're wrong, they get mad. You know, unless they're humble. If they're humble, they'll repent. You know, the Bible says that reproof goeth into a wise man better than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise man stays humble before the Lord. But if there's something wrong in your life and you're down there praying and God starts to work in your life and everything and that stuff comes in, and man, you've just lost it all. You just shut it down. You walk off from it. God's dealing with your heart. God's trying to get you to do something. He's trying to get me to ask somebody to forgive me when I was trying to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I went into a church service. You talk about in the spirit. Me and John, we went over and had a good service over there. They had to give me some scratching room, as Brother John used to say. You're going to have to back up and give me some dancing area. And we're going to have to make a little room in here. But that's the kind of service we is having. And I looked down there and the Holy Ghost was ministering to people. I looked on one side and I looked on the other. Now don't you think Brother Smith's gone crazy. And don't you think that you'll go all total spiritual on me. But there was two angels come up each out of that thing, and they was ministering that Holy Ghost. And I looked at that and I thought, that's not what they look like in pictures. And God said to me, boy, pictures ain't got nothing to do with this. This is reality. And I said, God, I want the Holy Ghost. And he said, why don't you get the altar? I run to the altar and I prayed for 2 seconds. And when I did, he said, you go ask for forgiveness from this person. And I got so mad, I stomped back to my seat. I sat there like a puffed up little marshmallow on the bacon cookie, and I tell you, I was brown all over and stunk. And when the preacher come out, he knew sure he hit me wide open, cause I wouldn't hardly look at him. I made up with him after that, though, you can guarantee it. And I went home, and on the way home, I was looking at the stars in the sky, and I was thinking to myself, I thought, I ain't one to go back. I've got too much. I've only been saved about a month. But God took that hate from me. Even in spite of God, we're looking at what we are, and it deserves what we are. Brother Kyle, when there's trials of life come up and something comes out of me, that's what I am. That ain't the devil made me do it. That's what was down there in the first place. That's what was brought out. I need a change in her. She didn't do that on her own. She got born again. Something happened. She met a real man. This is not play religion. There's still fire falling on the altar. There's still a Holy Ghost. There's still fire coming from this place. Here's where you meet God. Is that the cross, and this altar represents our cross. It's not an idol. It's not to be worshipped. You know, we got all these crosses in here. I thank God for it, but it's not to be worshipped. It's to die on that. It's to throw ourselves upon and be broken before Him. To allow Him His life to come inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I thought sure I'd be able to preach every night when God finally let me go preach, you know. Oh, He let me preach every night. I didn't realize, Lord, that He had a hedge around me, babying me, because I didn't wasn't old enough to handle that enemy like I should. I didn't realize that He was feeding me messages, teaching me that Word of God on a high-speed basis, because He's getting ready for something. I didn't realize all that. I thought, oh boy, I don't know why these lazy preachers don't preach harder. I don't know why they get in harder. I don't understand that. All preachers are lazy. I'll guarantee you, we got some great preachers here. I'm talking about those that like to spend 70 hours a week hunting or doing something like that, something other than the Word of God. I'm talking about people who are not really committed. I didn't realize that He had a hedge around me. But when God took that hedge off of me, He sent me out there, preached the camp meeting, hadn't been saved but about 12, 10 months. You talk about God moving, but that's the God moved in that camp meeting. You know what He done? I got down and prayed that night. I felt something rubbing all over my back. I was afraid to look. I didn't know what I'd find if I didn't look. And I didn't know if the enemy tried to turn my attention, because I was feeling something so good. Like Brother Clinton Dennis said, it felt like I had my hands stuck in the light socket. I just wiggling and squirming all over the place. I couldn't be still. I couldn't let go. I'm telling you, there's a place you can get to where God will turn you every way but loose, unless you want loose. And I want tonight to go to that place where I don't want loose. I want to go to a place where we can walk deeper with God, because He's real. He is a man. He is a man. I'm not like us. I'm not trying to preach Him in the flesh, but I'm telling you, He's a greater reality than we are. He is a greater reality. He that loveth me hath my commandments. A little further down, He says, he that keeps my commandments and he that loveth me. That's just as bold as it can be. John went even bolder, and he says, those of sin have never seen Him, never seen Christ. That's bold. immediately after I'd found him that day. Lord, I had no sympathy for those that cussed and acted like this. God assured me that ain't Christ. Don't you play ball with that. Don't you feel sorry for that. That's lost. They need to be saved. They need to be brought out. And don't you feel sorry for those that still chasing women around and act like they're a deacon in the church. That's lost. That's lost. That's all there is to it. You know, we've got youth pastors that are killing themselves in the assembly. God, don't have anything against the assembly. I just read a lot of assembly literature now and again. And they're killing themselves. I'm telling you, that's lost. They ever met Christ, they forgot what he looked like. They forgot that Christ loved. They forgot that Christ forgave. They forgot that Christ was wisdom and sanctification and redemption. And I'm telling you, they forgot that he is the strength and he is the power. It's not in man's strength. That's where we need to look to. When we get in a weak situation, we need to look to which cometh our help. And that's from the hills, hallelujah, and the mountains of God. That's where it's from, Brother Kyle. I'll never find any strength in the world again. I used to go to different places. I'd get so mad. I'm telling you, I'd just be in a rage. God kept me. It's the only reason I didn't do worse things than I did. And I'd go out in the woods and I'd find the refuge. If I'd shoot my gun or I'd hunt, I'd get a little relief. But I found a refuge that's so much better today. And he'll reach down his hand and he'll curb my life. In a few minutes, he'll repent my soul. I'll come back and I'll apologize. I'll say, I'm sorry I've done such a thing. I'm sorry I acted such a way. You forgive me. Please have mercy on me and deliver me, oh God, because I found a Savior that's alive. I didn't find a dead religion, but I found a God that's alive and well today. He's still on the throne of God. He's still got the power. He's still the only truth. I find a lot of people that we think they know, but I know one that does know. I found one that's a real Savior. I found one that gave a real life. I found one that gave a real redemption, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I found him one night, about on a Wednesday night. I decided that my wife had done prayed me through. I'd fall and carried on. She had done prayed me to the place where that Holy Ghost was dealing with my heart and soul. That inside of me come a lamp, and it touched my heart. I decided before I went to church, I didn't care what happened. I just hope they get to the altar service. Brother Billy Hours was singing up there, and I wanted to go so bad, but I wanted to look right. So I waited till Brother Ron got done preaching, and when he got done preaching, I ran to that altar and I bawled my eyes out. I said, God, I don't know how you can forgive me, but if you'll forgive me, I'll live for you, I'll stand for you, I'll go for you. And when I got up from that place, I'm telling you, I didn't feel no flow of the Holy Ghost like I feel tonight, but I knew with assurance in my heart that I gave it to God, and I was leaving that I was, and I'd lost my cussing mouth, my lying tongue, my anger went out. It changed that night, because I met a man, and his name is Christ Jesus. He's alive. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for the poet. She wrote, I looked upon the time of my life, coming down the seashore of my life, and there were two steps of the times that I picked you up and I carried you. I carried you right on through. The world is out there dying because they don't have a man to pick them up. They don't have a man to pick them up. They got a whole lot of religion that wants to use them up, that wants to put them in a program, wants to put them in a place where they can be acting like, you know, a little social thing. But I thank God we've got a Savior who can give us everything we need. We don't need to find a program. I don't need to teach them to play softball. I need to get them born again. If I get these children full of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, they won't have no problem with school. They'll be born again. If they meet the man that'll stay with them every night, you don't have to worry about what they do at night. Thank you, Lord. If they've got a man that walks along with them during the night hours, if they've got the man that walks those dark hills that Sister Vestal sings about, if they've got a man that reaches down his mighty hand and clefts them in the cleft of the rock, they'll look toward him. They won't worry so much about what all the other little kids are saying. They won't worry about what all the other teenagers are saying, but they'll look to God because they've got a refuge and a strong power and a power that is above any other power. because he is that coward. He is all in all. He is everything we need. We don't need to go any further. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, I feel that way too. Thank you, Lord. I ran into a guy. He said, you know, it seems like to me that the Mormons do a better job than the Christians do. I said, well, there's one thing about it. The Mormons don't have the devil fighting them. He's got them working for them. And you can do a whole lot in this world with the devil helping you. That's why it's easy. That's tough, man. I ran into another one. They said, I believe the Jehovah's Witnesses are nicer people than the Christians. I said, well, I don't think that's right, but I'll tell you why it looks like that. It's because they appeal to the flesh, not to the spirit. That's what it's about. They never met the man. I wish to God that they'll all get saved. I asked one time, I said, who is Jesus? They said, well, he's Christ. I said, who is Jesus? He's Christ. I said, who is Jesus? They said, well, he's the archangel. No, he ain't no archangel. No. He made those archangels. He ain't no archangel. He is the Son of God. He is that Son of God. That is the power. That is the power. That is the blindness that's come on the end and come on these that are so falling into these new wave things. It's a blindness that's come. They say, I've seen this happen so much, Maggie, it rends my heart. There's a new wave that's moving. And they say that these old-time Christians have lost the relationship. But I tell you what, I'd rather have a praying grandma who acted like something than anything in this world that's got that old mess wrapped around them, whether it's bondage of sin, whether it hasn't been taken out. I'm telling you, I know there's young people saved. I believe we've got a row of them come in, sit down back there that's born again. I'm telling you, there's young people saved, but I'd rather have a Holy Ghost filled Christian praying for me than all that guru nonsense that I see. That's lost. I ain't got any sympathy for that, because I met Jesus. I did not have an idea. I found something brought me out. I found something set me free. I found something, John, that'll reach out through me and get a hold of people. I'm telling you, he's done things times, Brother Lon. There's been times when I spoke out and I thought, why are you acting like this? And it's God's voice, because he'd get a hold of him and shake him down deep in her heart. Then it's time for me to shut up. I'm telling you, there's a man that can work through you. There's a power that can go through you if you'll be yielding to the Spirit of God as it leads you and guides you. If you'll be molded by his hand, you can know him. Paul said, I might know him. Hallelujah, that I might know him. That I might go to a place. Hallelujah, that I might know this Savior. The length, the depth, and the breadth of Christ. The breath of Christ. Hallelujah. My Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good Russian brother there. He said, as my family and I were making reconciliation in prayer to God in repentance and forgiveness one to another, how we have misused one another. We said, we don't know whether God will heal our baby or not. They told him, no chance for the baby. Just send him home to die. He told his wife, you bore me 9 children, I plead you off for forgive me. She said, I treated you bad. The children were asking each other to forgive her. They said, suddenly, he said, let's just praise God and see what happens. Suddenly, it's as if there's no roof on the house. And a man and wife come down and touch that baby. And that baby was right there, Brother Kyle. That baby wasn't a year old when that happened. That baby is 9 years old. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, he said, Jesus said in Revelation, he said,
says, I am the one walking in the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus is walking amongst his church. Jesus is a man. He's alive. He's not a fleshly man. He's not a carnal man, but he's real. Everything on this earth is going to pass away. It says that that you see is temporal, but that that you don't see, it is eternal. I'm telling you, the eternal things, they're going to hold. In Hebrews, he said he's going to shake once more heaven and earth, and all things are going to be shook, and all things that can be shook will pass away. That which cannot be shook may remain. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to remain is that that's born of Jesus Christ. That that's born again, that's been brought in, that met in a relationship with God. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He wants to know us, John. He wants to have a personal relation with us. He wants to have a relationship like a man and a wife. He wants to have a relationship knowing one another. Not as if a carnal thing, but a relationship one-on-one. A love that's deeper than anything in this world. A bondage to God Almighty. A freedom by the Spirit of God. Because I met somebody who died for me. A power that's above all powers. God Almighty, His Son. His Son broke me free and gave me a new life. He said, I will come. Even those that keep His commandments here in John 14. He said, I've come and I'll make my abode in them. And not only that, I'll manifest myself to them. But it goes a little farther. I'll manifest the Father to them too. That means to tell me that not only what Christ was, as He said in the verse 12, not only what He was and what He done, we can do also. I'm not preaching charismatics and I'm not preaching miracles, but I am preaching the Word of God. And this Word of God said, as He is, so are we in this world. We met a man who can live through us. We met a man who can set us free. We met somebody. I met somebody that took my sins away, that gave me freedom, that gave me freedom. I don't have religion. I met a Savior. Hallelujah. I met a Savior. I met somebody. I met God through Jesus. I met God. I met a Savior. He come to my side. I met a Savior. He brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me freedom. He loved on God. He come to my. Hallelujah. He brought me freedom. He brought me life. I met a man. Nobody sent me to obedience school. Nobody taught me how to preach. Nobody taught me the Word of God. I met a man. I met a man who brought it out of me. Hallelujah. That's why seminary school is like the cemetery. Because it's full of man. It's full of the flesh. That's why they don't believe He's God. Because they've never met Him. He's never walked with them. He's never walked in the house. And never been in a car with them. Never walked with them. Never been in prayer with Him. Never been down to a place where Christ had them by the arm and said, it's okay. I'm with you, and I'll be with you always. They don't have the relationship. They don't have the relationship. I met that man, and for some reason, I never could get over my hurt and my pain. But it left me because I met the man. He said, by my stripes, ye were healed. He healed my mind. He healed my pain. He healed my soul. He healed my inner being. He gave me freedom. He burnt me from head to toe with the Holy Ghost. He gave me a power which is above all power, and that is of God. He gave me that love, brother, you were thinking about. On the cross, I heard Him pray, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He gave me a love. No longer was love what I wanted, but love was giving, caring, sacrifice, commitment to those who have it not for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Agape love. Agape love. That which will never be paid back for. That which bothers, that'll never be given back. God comes down and gives us a new mind. He said, you've not so learned Christ, but if you have learned Him, put on, brethren, holy elect. Put it on, just like your coat. Put it on. Put on Christ Jesus. Again in Philippians 2, hallelujah, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus also. Allow it to happen. Brother Carl, the enemy tries to steal it every morning, but I've got to allow it to happen. Like you were saying, I don't know, I might be dead when he answers all of my prayers, like the brother is saying, but he will answer the prayer. He will answer the cry, the faith-filled cry of a child of God. He will answer, because he's us. He's been born in us. We've been changed by the Lord. Together in the kingdom of God, he's found us, he's rooted us, he's ground us. He said he's called us and he's glorified us. That means we've already got a home, Joel, with our name written on it. We've already been set in heaven. Our name's in the book of life, Sister Ruth. Tomorrow, if we meet him, we've got salvation. I've got something. This is the faith and the patience of the saints, those that know him. Think about it. That know him. Hallelujah. I touched God. I got a big old nose. I touched my big old nose that Wednesday night after I'd repented of my stubbornness out asking this person to forgive me. My nose hit that altar. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, he wrapped me up in a deep water. I didn't know where I was at for 4 hours, 3 hours. I didn't know where I was at. Couldn't talk English till 2 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't speak a word, brother. Had to watch what I was doing on my job. I'd crawl out of that truck. I'd start to say something, come out tongues. That's because I met a man. I didn't get a tongue. I bought these shoes. I'm telling you, they had tongues in them when I bought them. I got the Holy Ghost. He gave me tongues. What I wanted was the Holy Ghost. I wanted him. I wanted him. It says he shall. Down there about verse 26, when the comforter comes, he shall lead you into all truth. He'll teach you all things that I've said unto you. He is our teacher, Brother Kyle. And if we've learned Christ at all, it is in that Holy Ghost. If we've learned anything about him, if we've been brought to any place, it is in that Holy Ghost. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah. He picks us up. He holds us close. Oh, what a love we have. What a love we have. I've seen men forsake some of the greatest love ever could have been given. How a woman, a diligent woman, would try to forgive all kinds of things that are done and try to do their best to hold the marriage together. I think, how can you do this? How can you do this? That person cares for you, but Christ died for me. Christ called to my heart when I forsook him for years and years and years. Christ died for me. That's the true love. Man cannot attain to that love. It is far above the deepest heaven. I love my Shonda. It is far above everything we can imagine. It says his glory excels the height of the stars. That means God's glory reached out there beyond the galaxies. His love is that deep. That's how much he loves us. How much he'll go for us. How much more do we need to have a communion with him, a relationship with him. I'm telling you, it's not a burden to pray. It's a joy to pray. It's a joy to get down and call on the living God. It's a peace to be inside of his presence. It's freedom, Brother Law, to have a relationship with God Almighty. It's a power to be able to commune with him. There's a power that works in us, and that power is of God. And if it's not of God, we need to sit down and shut up. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, I've been in places. Oh, the Holy Ghost, I mean, as the brothers say, everybody had a cluster of grapes. It was poured out, the fruit of the Spirit was everywhere. They're dancing and shouting and falling over one another. And then the flesh get up and run the whole deal. I'm telling you tonight, there's a God that's above that flesh. There's a God that's above that flesh. There's a God who could set that flesh to death. By His Spirit, He'll pick that mess up and He'll crucify it. He'll kill it. He'll bring it to a place where it's humble. Some of the, probably one of the best young men. It grieves my heart to say this, but it's true anyway. Probably one of the best young men. Could have been an incredible preacher for the Lord. Was an incredible worker. I'm telling you, what happened to him is he decided he wasn't going to fast. And when God told him to fast, he didn't do it. Now, I'm not telling you God's going to make you to fast, but something happened in that young man's mind. Whether he lost his faith or whether he lost the relationship, he's out of this way. I'm telling you tonight, we better know him day and night. Where we've left the good part. We've left the sugar. I'm just about to get into conviction. I'm telling you, we better not let go of Christ. He's alive and he's moving. He's our only hope. This is a dark and dreary world. This is a world with vicious demons in it. And if we let go of him for a moment, we could fall into devil-possessed religion. They're out there claiming that they could have died for our sins. But Lon Jr., ain't nobody could have died for our sins but the blessed Son of God. They're out there claiming they're God, but there ain't no God but one. That's all there is to it. There ain't no God but one. Men are never going to be gods. We lose that relationship. It don't matter how politically correct, what we do, what we sing, how we act. God will move away from us, and we're open to a relationship with darkness. That light that'll be in us will be darkness. God, help us tonight to have a desire and a full reliance on you, that we might cast ourselves at the foot of the cross, that he might lift us up, that he might exalt us in due time. I'm telling you, the worst thing that I've faced in my life is me, and my worst problem is pride and patience. Those two things try to destroy me, and it's the same with every man. Women are a little different, but Christ is still the answer. I'm telling you, you may have other problems than I got, but Christ is the answer. He is the basic answer. He is the answer to everything. I'm telling you that if we have got a problem, it don't matter where the source is, God has got the answer. Thank you, Lord. I heard that back long years ago that castor oil used to cure everything. And it'll cure your kid. I'm telling you, Jesus will cure everything. And the only thing he's going to kill is the chaff. That old flesh, he's going to pick that up. His fan's going to sweep it. And he's going to burn that chaff with unquenchable fire. He's going to bring it out. You know, can I preach? There may be a whole lot of hokey-joke bicycle religion that say it's okay to run around lust after people, but it ain't all right. There may be a bunch of them out there claiming sin's okay, but it's not all right. That's all there is to it. It's not okay. If this Holy Ghost has really got a hold of you, he's purged you with that fan, and he's moved you out. There's a whole bunch of people talking tongues. I found out that at one of the Pentecostal meetings, that they're going to have a Mormon speak. They asked that brother, it's very interesting to me how you're a Mormon and one of these big wigs in the Mormon church, and you've been born again. He said, well, I've never been born again. I just got the gift of tongues. There's a lot of spirits out there like teach you talking tongues. But if you get born again, you can be filled with the real Holy Ghost. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that'll make you Christ-like. That'll change you. That'll turn you inside out and give you freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, I wish I could preach till Jesus comes. I mean to leave here. He's already here, but I mean to leave here. He walks in the midst of his church. He said, ride unto the angel of the churches. Ride to them. You tell them what I'm saying. Let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. Every problem you got, you say, I got financial. You say, I got physical. I got mental. I've got family. Every problem you got is in the hand of Jesus. He can take care of it. He can't change it. When I got saved by a little old 200,000 mile, 170,000 mile Datsun pickup, did not become new, but I was just as glad of that as a new Dodge pickup or a Ford pickup, any of them. I'm telling you, when I got saved, my 25-year-old trailer house did not turn new, but I was just as happy with that as I was a brand new $500,000 one. I tell you, he's got a hold of me inside. He changed my priority. He turned me about. He never gave me no $1 million jet or $24 million jet. He delivered me from the vanity of wanting any mess like that. He gave me a heart for the lost souls. He gave me a desire to see people get saved. He gave me a heart for my brothers and sisters. He gave me a love that reached down inside of my heart and make me cry at night and weep for things of God. He gave me that heart to change me. I found somebody. I want to be found in that image. Rhonda sang earlier, wherever thy will is, I want to go. If it's on a sinking ship, call me, Lord. I want to be there. If it's back to Russia, call me, Lord. If it's right here, keep me, Lord. If it's down the road, send me, Lord. Whatever it is, wherever it is, put me, Lord. I want to be in that place. John Wesley wound up being a great man of God, but when he was just in religion, he was a missionary. He'd run into this group of people. I can't remember their names, but they were really saved. They were going to South America to do missionary work to the natives there. Come a mighty storm. Looked like all was lost. I mean, we're talking serious business. Everything was going to be lost. The ship was going to sink. He's over there. You know what he's doing. He cut the bone. He looked at those missionaries. They were just glad, singing praises, worshiping God. He said beside himself, they got something I don't have. He went over and started talking. He said, why are you acting like this? We're going to die. There ain't no ships. There's no land. We're months or so out at sea. We're going to die. We can't live through this. They said, we don't care. All we know is God told us to go. If we die in the sea, we're going to heaven. And if we come through this storm, then God's kept us. He said, they have something I don't have. And he prayed through to salvation that night. You want to know what happened to him? He's 80 years old, or he's 70-something years old when he died. He was preaching 8 messages a day, rode 80,000 miles on horseback. That's because God got a man that is really born again. He met Christ. Amen. What God could do with one man thoroughly committed to his will, it's not been seen. That's what drove the Dwight L. Moody to such an evangelism, because he saw that God is yet to be, it's yet to be seen what God could do with one man totally yield to him. Because we're not walking with an idol. We're not walking with a thing of the mind. We've not been brainwashed. You can brainwash people into things. This is what Jim Jones does. You can get people convinced. If all you've got is religion, you just wait and see. Somebody will convert you to a different church, or your church will change its doctrine. But if you're born again, nothing going to change inside of you from the day you got salvation until the day you lift out of this place, except the more, as it says in Proverbs, the righteous are not so, but there is a bright and shining light which shineth more and more into the perfect day. The only thing that's going to change, if you're really inside of God, is you're going to become more and more Christ-like. There's going to be a more and more holiness and fruit of the Spirit inside of you if you'll grow with God. I thank God that I know Him. I don't know what I'd like to know, but the reason I know Him, Lord, I'm not boasting tonight, is because I've seen what He's done with my life. And that's the reality of God. The writer said in Ephesians, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, also will raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. Even a child is known by his doings. I thank God. There may be people saved in no telling what kind of church. But I know this. We got people saved in this church. Let's get hold of Christ. He's still real. You know that enemy, he wants to come and he wants to. What he'll do is he'll throw a little dust up there, try to get you where you can't see him too well. Oh, he'll probably say, well, he ain't answered that prayer, he ain't listening. Won't you just hold on? Won't you just wait? See what God does. He'll try to blind you and try to pull that relationship apart. You know, he'll make the husband ask for a dozen cookies when it's the first time to go to bed. You know, in my case, it'd be a cake and ice cream. He'll do his best to knock you out of the prayer meeting. Before long, you'll forget. You know, well, you know, I think it'd be hard if we don't pray tonight. Oh, I think it'd be okay. Yeah, God understands. Yeah, that's right. God understands. He understands you're growing cold as a cucumber. That's what he understands. He knows you're being blinded. You say, well, you know, me and the little lady put trusses up till 2 a.m. Believe I'll sleep this Sunday morning service out. Yeah, God understands all that. You care more about the trusses than you do God. I told you to get to the conviction. I mean, if we don't preach much to do today, we just well shut up. So let's say, well, I don't think the midweek service is just right anymore. Believe I'll stay. Well, why don't you get it and bring it with you? Hey, man, you think it's a little dead? Why don't you get alive and bring some with you? Huh? You think there's something wrong with a preacher? Why don't you pray for him? That's the answer. Nothing happens if there's something wrong with your prayer. Ooh. I'm telling you, we met a Savior. In the darkness, this world would love to just encroach our eyes. Bring us to a place where it's, oh, it's just religion. It's just having your best clothes on, putting the stink under your arms and all of that. That's all that is. But it's not. It's salvation. It's freedom. It's a change. It's a relationship. Lord, I was so sure church was the most boring place I'd ever been in until I got born again. Mom and Daddy made me go and I'd bawl to watch Walt Disney. They were on Sunday night when I was a boy. I'd bawl to watch Walt Disney. They started a Saturday night service. They always had more movies on Saturday night. I'd bawl to watch the world movie. No, as long as we're going to church, you're going. I said, well, I get out of the house, I'm going. I've got scars of sin all over my life from my red day. But I thank God that he's forgotten. Oh yeah, the scars are still there, things that those people, they don't forget. But he's forgotten. It's not his desire that any of us perish. You know, if you're saved, think of this thing. The Lord spoke. He said, what man among you building a tower would not sit down first and count the cost? Oh, my man going to war would not see it if he needed 10,000 or 20,000 to see with him. So let him send an image. Or unless the one building the tower be embarrassed, they mock him. God's not mocking. No power is greater than God. If he called you to salvation, that means he wants to see you back. He loves you. It's not just the husband. It's the wife. It's not mom and daddy only. It's the children. He loves you. Amen. Lord, as you spoke to us and said that you were soon to come, let us be as lights burning for the Master, one that waits for his Master to come in the midnight hour, waiting for the bridegroom to call as the virgin with her lamp trim and the oil in her vessel. Father, let us be on fire. Father, let us be full of you. Jesus, wrap us up in your arms. Fill us with that Holy Ghost again and again and again. God, I pray that in the midnight hour that Holy Ghost would commune with us. Father, in the work hour that He commune with us. God, that relationship and that fire would be renewed in every heart and ear. God, those that have it would draw nearer by the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, that we'd be brought in a communion with You in the name of Jesus. That Christ is a reality would spring up inside of us deeper and greater than ever before. I believe everybody here is saved, but God knows. I believe you're saved, but God knows. If you're not saved, I'd like you to come. Thank you, Lord. That's real. It's all over. It's all over. Lord, we're going to turn church from just a lot of singing and a whole lot of talking to life, to a ministration of the Spirit, to a place of holiness, to a place where holy people come. This is just a building, but He'll make you realize that the church is in the people in this building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Going to tarry a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.